today. I'm not going as far as when Christ comes again. I might go as far as the rapture, but we'll just have a look and see. But this mainly is about you and me. We're starting with you and me, because I really do need to say to us, and speaking to me, we really do need to look at end times. It's end times since Christ, but I do believe we are right in end times. When that will be, I don't know, but I know it will be a joyful time. I can't wait to be lifted up and out of this place. Right. We'll be starting with 2 Timothy 4:1-8. 2 Timothy 4:1-8. And I've been told, will you stop a little while so someone can get the page or wherever it may be. Okay. And this, of course, was Paul writing to Timothy, and he was going through some tough times. He really was struggling. So, okay. 2 Timothy 4:1-8. Right. Father, I just pray as I read this word, may your spirit enhance and come, Lord God, to help us, guide us and direct us as we go through scripture. May we be hungry for your word, I pray, in Jesus' name. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. The time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. This applies to us as a church. When the scripture is written, we can have a look at this and think, this was to Timothy, but this is to the church as a whole. One or two words there I'd like to say. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. That's the way we preach the word as we walk along. We preach the word with the smile we give. We preach the word in the way we treat others. Have you got a bad attitude? What's your motives like as well? Where are you coming from? Are you coming from a Christ-centered life? Am I? Or am I coming really from a materialistic world? Has the flesh got hold of you more than the spirit? Because you need the Holy Spirit within us to enable us to live the Christ-like work that he's got us to do. So we need instruction. We need to be prepared. We need to be in season and out of season, correct in what we do. Rebuke and encourage each other with great patience. Patience is a word here I really want to look at in a little way. Because patience in the Greek is hupomeno. And it really comes from these words. It comes from patience, perseverance, or endurance. And under these, let me say, hupo means under. And it means really under a weight. There's a weighty thing on you. It's weighty, okay? And the other word, meno, means to stay or abide. And what it's got in life, there will be things which are tough. They will be heavy on you. They will be heavy. You won't probably know how to cope at times. You're going through some of those? I know what you're doing. I know what you're saying. So therefore, what we need to be in our Christian life is very, very stable. Because we will get things that come across our path unexpectedly as well as expectedly. And could I just have the first clip up here today, please? Danger. Thin ice. That should be the other way around, but put the other one up first. You'll get this one in a little while. Put the other one up, please. Warning. This is a road sign, rocks falling. I could say perhaps all of us here have gone through and going through some really rocky times. But when there's a notice up, it may be God speaking to you and saying, stop, listen to what I'm saying. I want to guide you and direct you. You're not giving me enough time to speak to you. You're speaking to me all the time, but you're never stopping to listen to what I'm saying. If that rings a bell for some people, which it does me, just stop a minute and think to ourselves, am I giving the Lord God of my life enough time to allow him to change my heart, to change my thinking, and to change the way I am? Think about these things. Allow God. This means never giving up, refusing to surrender whatever the obstacles are, turning down every time something comes upon your life. Never, ever quit. Never quit. On that, I just want to speak about the church. I'm talking about the church as a whole. One thing that's always grieved me as a pastor is the people who just get up and leave the church. They never pray with the pastor. They never consult with anyone. They never, just one day, I've known Nita and I share this with you, to be in court with people, to help people, to do what we can, and all the masses of work. And one Sunday, this person came to me and just said, we're leaving today. What? Couldn't believe it. And I thought, don't you think when you move church, if God has put you in a church, you do not move until God tells you to. If he tells you to move, then have a blessing. If he doesn't, you stay put until he does. Don't you ever start walking out of the will of God, and I'll go through this at the end, and I tell you, I want to put the fear of God in us. I really do. Because being a Christian is a tougher. Obedience than what perhaps we're capable of on our own, that's for sure. But he wants us to move in him and know there are obstacles. Don't just go and do something on your own. You make sure that you're prayed for. You make sure you're in the will of God. Because I'll tell you something, and this is tragic. I mean this. Many of them who leave churches, they're now nowhere. Their walk with Jesus Christ is nothing. So don't think you're going to just do things of your own accord. That's the worst thing you can do in life. And I'll tell you, when I look at some scriptures to come, will they lose their eternal life? Be careful. Be careful. Once saved, always saved. I can do what I want. I don't have to bother. I can not do this and not do that. It makes a massive difference. It makes a massive difference. Be careful in what you say. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you read. Be careful what you're doing. You are in the body of Christ. And Christ's expectation of us is far greater than what we really want to lay hold of. Get hungry for the living word. I can never come enough and say this ever. But since we started on the 27th of January 2002, God has impressed upon me time and time and thousands of times. Read the living word. Read the living word. Read the living word. And people very often say to me, I don't understand. Just share something with you that happened to me probably a week ago. I was sitting in an armchair, very comfortable, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, and it shouldn't be, should it? God spoke to me and it knocked me out of the chair. That was so powerful. I knew, boom! I thought, God, what are you doing? And he said, I want you to ring this person. hadn't seen him for years. What's that all about? So I rang him. He answered the phone and he was most surprised. What are you phoning me for? And I said, I'm only phoning you because God told me to phone you. That's the reason I'm phoning you. So he said, well, really, Terry, said, I'm nowhere. I'll just give you exactly what he said. He said, I am so full. I am saturated with sin. I'm saturated with sin. We had a little chat. And you put the phone down, not down hard. We finished with good time, just chatting together, and I prayed for him. And I thought, well, that didn't get me far, I didn't think. But anyway, because I didn't think he wanted to pursue what we were chatting about. The next morning, the phone rang. It was him. God, I need help. God, I need help. He had tried. Committed suicide. He'd taken 121 paracetamol. He laid there bleeding in his bed. He didn't want anyone to know. But he felt, I just need someone to speak to. So he phoned up. And he said to the operator, I don't want police, I don't want ambulance, I don't want fire brigade. I just need someone to comfort me at this time. Before he knew it, they were at the door. They traced his mobile phone right there. He laid at the hospital, bleeding everywhere. And he said to the doctor in charge, said, we don't know. You've just done so much to your body, we just don't know. Anyway, he did pull through, didn't he? Otherwise, he couldn't have phoned me. And now, we're meeting up together because he wants to get the word of God. Because I tell you, whatever there is in his life which is sinful, this word is more powerful, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, he can be set free. But let me tell you, you've got to have, and I say to all of you, you've got to have a heart who wants to serve God, whether it's 1 a.m, 3 p.m, or whatever. Being a Christian is 24/7. It's not a Sunday morning and a life group. It is your life, and your life all the way through. And as a Christian, God demands, if you like, more than what sometimes we're prepared to give. We must make sure we're radical for Christ. And I mean that. What else have you got in life? What else is going to see you through? What else is there for you? So, let me say this. This is 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And in that, you can say that useful, you can have profitable. He's profitable for teaching and righteousness, instruction. There must be, with a Christian, a change of heart. You cannot accept Christ and still be the same. It's impossible. It's impossible. If you've got still a hard heart and you know it, somewhere along the line, you haven't been transformed. Somewhere along the line, you have not really got right with Christ. That's what repentance means, and I've said it before, but repentance means you're turning the other way. You're going to live a life for Christ. End of story. And this in here, which I've been reading, is fabulous. It really is. Just let me say this. When this was written, and I studied the Greek on this, this piece of scripture, it says that this word is the very essence of God. When it says all scripture, it means the very essence of God. And also it says it's the fragrance of God. It's the fragrance of God. I'm going to share one or two things this morning in a personal way. And some of you have heard this, but I want you to know this. I can remember one night when we lived in Ipswich, and we were both asleep in bed, and all of a sudden I woke up, this was probably 3 a.m, and the fragrance of Christ was so in that room, I couldn't move. I was intoxicated with the presence of God. The fragrance was just overwhelming. And when I told Neat the next morning, she said, "Why didn't you wake me?" I said, "I couldn't. I was just so intoxicated with the fragrance of Christ." Why don't you ask? I'll tell you one or two things. Nita, she said, "Lord, I'd love this fragrance." And do you know what? About a week later, she had the same thing. And when we were in Felixstowe, Ali Risden was with us at the same time, and we were in our lounge. And the fragrance of Christ came in that place. And I want to tell you, can't move, you can't speak, you are just there and just want to stay there. You don't have because you don't ask. Ask. God loves to do things so that you really know it's Him. No one else can do those things. No one else can put the... Do you hear what I'm trying to say? I dare say some of you could lead me on and I'd be great. Come on, boy, I'd love to hang on your shirt tail. You know what I mean? I'm talking about spiritually. I really would. There's so much of Christ. It's so amazing with Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed. Hallelujah. The New Testament draws a sharp line between the natural mind and the mind that has been touched or torched by divine fire. See, when you read the word and when I read the word, it should change us from the inside, which will change us from the outside. I love it when Sean gets excited for Christ. I love it when we can raise our hands and shout for joy at what Christ has done for us. Are there still logs in the road? Yeah. I'm fighting a couple at the moment. But I've got great news to just share with you this. I've had a bad knee, this knee, since I had, probably 5 or 6 years, really, to be on and off. And then just recently, I really did hurt my knee when I was running on the prom. That's a stupid thing to do, isn't it, for a guy of my age? And running on the prom, March 25th, and I came in and I said to Nate, "God, I've done something to my knee." And I knew it was different to what it was, and it was the cartilage. That was it. So I went for x-rays, I went for scans, I went for x-rays, and I saw the specialist only the last few weeks, and he said, "You have no cartilage in your knee, in this part of the knee here." He said, "It's bone on bone." He said, "But as the specialist you saw the other day put a cortisone injection in, which was pathetic, it didn't even last a day," he said, "I cannot operate for at least 4 to 6 months. And I said to him, "Don't worry about that. It will be healed before you even get near it." I've got good news for you. Woohoo! It's healed. I want to tell you, God is good. But I'm still struggling on another health issue. And I'll tell you this. Neat and I are struggling because she's got a wart on her finger and it won't go away. What I'm trying to say to you is, it's a cyst, okay? It won't go away. What I'm saying is, does it work out exactly as we would like? No, no, no. I'm not just telling you the good things, I'm telling you the things also which are tough going. Really are. And I'm struggling on one issue and that health at the moment. But I'm struggling because that boulder, boy, I'm getting past that boulder. So come on, let's know what God is doing. We do need a heart transplant. When we accept Jesus Christ, we're under His authority and not our own. I know this is making a few people uncomfortable, I can see it. But do you know Jesus made a few people? They even turned around and walked out. And I've had that happen here as well. It's we abide by whose rules and regulations, not ours. Not ours. It's no good you wanting to bend the rules with him. It's no good you saying, I want to do it this way. What does the word say? We're saved by the grace of God. And I don't take away grace. But let's not use grace so you think you can do anything you want. Because you're talking about a different grace here. Grace, the person of grace, may let you get away with murder. But the grace of God does not. There's things you have got to do to repent and put your life back in order. And it says this. I'm just now talking really about last times here for us to understand in a world issue. Brother, this is Mark 13, 12 and 13. Brother will betray brother to death, father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And there's brothers and sisters in this world today, many, many of them being killed because they become Christians. All over the world, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And the Spirit does say, the Spirit clearly says, this is Timothy 1:4:1, clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And I want to say, if you look, let's just look at this just a few minutes here. Knife crime. 3,000 families have been in London, not killed, but 3,000 times has been knife crime in London this year already. This staggered me. They had the largest drug haul the other week, which was on TV. Guess how much there was in this drug haul? 50 tons. 50 tons of drugs. Can you imagine? Just think of a bit of that going into your family and people. It destroys everybody wherever it goes. It really does. I do feel sorry for people in that way. I really do. It must be absolutely terrible to see your loved ones hooked and caught on something which is pulling them apart, pulling them down. No hope for them. Norwich, there's been more deaths in Norwich through drugs than any other place outside of London. These things are on our doorsteps, guys. There will be wars and rumours of wars. Things will change in the atmosphere. There will be things like rain and hurricanes and earthquakes. Things will change. I don't know about you, but when I read the news and see that, I see things are changing. Things are changing. And if you think things are changing for the better, you think how much NHS, and I say this, NHS, police, firemen, ambulance people, they do a fabulous job. I think that what they do with the resources they have is amazing. And you know, the police so often are pulled down or pulled apart if you've done something wrong, but how they get someone and put them on the ground. I saw someone the other day, and maybe you did, he was laying down because he'd stabbed someone. Laying down on a wet path. And I thought, I'll guarantee someone will phone up and say, did you realise you were laying him in a puddle when you were trying to arrest him? It's a pathetic. I think we need to get as a society and understand, guys, the police and all of them, they do a great job 99.9% of the time, and they need us in prayer, to get behind them and what they're doing. Says this too. Godlessness in the last days, 2 Timothy 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, obese, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Guys, The world is a sort of a dangerous place to be in. It really, really is. But then, let's just say this. We need to get self out of the driving seat. Only heard this yesterday. This is something I read, actually. Self is one of the toughest plants that grows in the garden of life. I'll repeat it. Self is one of the toughest plants that grows in the garden of life. Blame Tozer for that, because it's in one of his books. If you've got a few minutes, you know, we have got probably 1,000 or 2,000 Christian books in the back there. And just recently I've gone through them, and I've probably picked out 30 that I want to read, and I've probably read about 5 since I've picked them out. But what I'm saying is, why don't you take a book or two home and put it there ready, so that if you've got 10 minutes or quarter of an hour, instead of doing nothing or looking at something else, read a book about how it can encourage you in your Christian walk. Fill your mind, fill your spirit being with the things of God. That's what he wants for us. You know, he is so for us. His patience is just unbelievable. He is so for you. But do you know something? He wants us also to help ourselves. He wants us to get up some mornings and be praising and thanking him for his goodness. Jumping out of bed in the morning, however grotty you may feel, and think, yes, Jesus Christ died for me. I'm so pleased that I know him as my Savior and my Lord. Give him something to rejoice about. And then there is a call to persevere. This here says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, all the more as we see the day approaching. There is going to be a big falling away from the church just before Christ comes. And if you, when I say when, I haven't got a clue, but I know it's nearer than it was last week. And I know, as we see, because I'm also fully involved with Philo Trust and what we're doing, we are seeing around the world thousands and thousands and thousands of people coming to Christ. And it says that in the last times there will be a big, big move to come to Christ. But also after that there will be a complete falling away from the church. This is terrible, isn't it? Can you imagine falling away in the last days? There will be deception that comes within the church. Make sure that what you're listening to is what Jesus Christ came to do in his word. There is no other. He is the only way. There is nothing else will get you into eternity with God the Father than through his Son, Jesus Christ. He's the only mediator that there is for mankind. So persevere, brothers and sisters. Develop your prayer life. Think about it. The responsibility is by prayer. I wonder how many people haven't come to Christ because I haven't prayed for them. I've had lots come to Christ. I wonder how many people have not been healed because I haven't had the guts to pray for them. I wonder how many people are starving because I didn't give the extra to help them. You know, we're responsible for everything we have and everything we do. It's a big responsibility, being a Christian. But I wouldn't change it for all the tea in China. I don't think, yes, I do drink tea. Don't lose your first love. It says this in James 5:19 and 20. Brothers and sisters, If you should wander, or brothers, if you, or one of you should wander from the path, from the truth, and someone should bring you back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and over a multitude of sins. It is well and good to be challenged. But the question is, are we changed? It is all well to be challenged, but are we changed? Put Jesus first. Because of the increase of wickedness, this is it, love and most will grow cold. It says most will grow cold. God forbid, come on, let's help one another, let's lead one another on, let's, when we see someone perhaps struggling, come on, let's get alongside them. I don't want anyone become lost because I haven't done what I should do. Do you? And I'm going to read you and probably finish with this. I'm just about over time now. I could carry on for about another hour, but I'll stop. Please think of this. You know it, you've heard it, you've seen it almost, because you've heard it so many times. But think about this. The parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may be not enough for both us and you. Instead, you go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The Holy Spirit does not do this to scare us. He does it to prepare us. The Holy Spirit doesn't do this to scare us. He does it to prepare us. Are you in that place where you can genuinely say, "I'm living my life for Jesus Christ. All I want is Jesus Christ. I love him so much. I want to spend eternity with him, but I also want to spend day by day with him." Now, I think I'll just share this. I didn't know whether to share this or not, because this is about me, and I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about Jesus. But the other day, I was spending some time with the Lord, and I was on a very small country road, and I knew it. It was so small, you can only just get one car down it. And each side of this road, there was like a shepherd's parsley or whatever it's called, white, you know this stuff. Each side of the road up here somewhere. And I started walking down this path, and all of a sudden, this person said to me, "Hold my hand." And I held this person. And he said, "Put your hand in mine." And it was Jesus. And I put my hand in his hand, and it was my left hand, and it was his right hand. And I walked along this path. He was walking through the parsley stuff, and I was walking just on the edge of the road. And the first thing he showed me, he showed me, was a bumblebee. And he said, "When I created that, mankind said it would never fly. But I created it to fly." And he shooed it right close up the bumblebee. We looked at it together. And then we went along a few more yards, and there was a dragonfly. And it was beautiful. It was large, it was green and blue, and those fluorescent colours. And he said, that was my creative hand that made that. And I looked at that, and I was just awestruck at the amazing things he was doing. And I walked a little further with him, still my hand in his. And there was a song thrush in the bush. And he said, I put that song in that thrush. And I stopped and listened with him. And then, as I went a little further, there was some geese flying over. And they were in the V formation. And he said, I created them to fly like that. And then there was a swallow. And I saw the swallow flying about. You know, they go from one country to the next and they come back to the same place. And he said, I put that sat nav. I am the creator. I am. And I looked. And he said to me, you know, this path never ends. This path is an eternal path. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. And I could see how he'd done the flowers all on the bush, the different colours in the leaves, all those things. That's why the trees in the field will clap their hands. That's why the pasture land will shout for joy. That's why all creation, they know the master. Do you? Are you and I living a life that you would really, really know? Gosh, I really want to please my Savior.